Today we can observe some revealing things about our world as we near the return of Jesus Christ. The messages today have kind of brought out some of that. I'm going to bring out a different dimension. Our political system, which has given us centuries of support here in the United States, but as moral and spiritual practices have slid backwards, so the support and stability of our government as well. It is acutely clear that the problem with man's government is spiritual in nature, and the absence of that spiritual characteristic creates chaos and disunity. It allows Satan to stir the pot, as we can see almost every day when we turn on the news. Romans 8:7 says, "Because the carnal mind is in enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." And we can see that around us everywhere. What do governments usually provide for us? A safe and ordered environment for people to live and grow as a group. Our Declaration of Independence states that its citizens are to enjoy, the goal for government is that the citizens enjoy life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, our society has redefined the pursuit of happiness. It is now the pursuit of materialistic and social goals. Both of these are against biblical principles. Governments tax, and they provide schools, libraries, armies, and the equipment for the armies, laws to structure safe living conditions. Many institutions have been built for environmental protection, immigration, banking systems, business practices, highways, bridges, and tunnels, and the list goes on and on. But with all this, man is missing a key spiritual component that leads to peace and only finds short periods of peace relative to centuries of existence. Our world's civilizations are careening down a road of conflict, which can only get worse and lead to mankind finally being rescued with the return of Jesus Christ, who will bring peace and love to this world. The return of Jesus Christ will be peace and love to this world, a very big change. In the last couple generations, we've experienced a lot of change. So today I'm going to share with you some of those. If somebody could please turn out the lights. I'm going to take you through a short discussion of some of the scientific changes. And I left out a lot of the social, religious confusion and the wars that man gets involved in and draws away from peace. So if you could turn off the lights, please. I'll see if I can kind of narrate us through this. Change is coming. Are you ready? So this is the first change that I'm going to show you today. As you can see, the horse and carriage was one of the only ways to travel for many centuries here in the United States. And then came along Henry Ford. That infernal machine makes too much noise. It breaks down. We'll never be able to do what the horse and buggy can do. It will get stuck. In our society, there's always people who have a problem with change. They always have some kind of inside sight that says, I just don't like this. I think it's going to fail. And so they like to go on and on about it. And of course, we know what happened to this. That infernal machine is now everyone owns one in their own garage, and they drive all across the country, all across the world with these things. And the horse and buggy, well, you don't see too many of those unless you go to Amish country. Then you're going to see it. So that's one change. More change to come. Up here we have an old wood stove. Now there happens to be a puppy on top of it. The puppy isn't there to get cooked, but it must have been in storage. But this is what grandma used. It's tried and trusted. Just need to split wood. And that's how I cook my meals. Today, actually later, maybe the 50s, came this thing called electricity. What happens when the darn thing gets shorted? It will never work. The electricity drives that stove, and then eventually we came to this thing called a microwave. I never liked all those atoms flying around. I mean, think about the things I'm saying. I've heard people say these things.
I never liked all those atoms flying around destroying my food. I'll just use the oven that my mother used. You mean you're going to use that wood stove up there? I actually lived with some people in New Hampshire who did cook with wood stove like that. In the morning, it was quite a job to get that thing fired up. However, she was an excellent cook. They were Mormons that I was renting from. And every once in a while, she'd share her food with me, and it was tremendous. So that's one set of changes that we've been through. Here's another one. Remember we started off with Morse code? I used to walk a linear trail in Cheshire, Connecticut, which went along the canal that went from Farmington to New Haven, I think is where it went to travel goods along the water. And they also put in a telegraph line. And there were telegraph lines across the entire Midwest of the United States. But you had to understand Morse code because that was the only way that you could really hear what was being said until you invented this thing called the telephone. Oh. And then you made the telephone digital, and then you made this thing. What is that? Funny looking little piece of glass sitting on the table there. How do you use the thing? There's no place to put your finger. There's no wires to plug into it to send the signal. What do you do with the thing? How does it work? It's not connected to anything. That thing called a cell phone. So that's another big change that's happened in just a couple generations here. Here's another one. This one here, the Chinese and such uses, I think it's called an abacus, to count their numbers. In fact, still some people do use them. I have seen them being used. Or just having a blackboard or a piece of paper to add up numbers. Then came along this thing called the slide rule. How many of you ever used the slide rule? See, it's quite a few of you. A slide rule, tried, true, and old faithful. But you know, the slide rule was not extremely accurate to like 11 decimal points. And then came along this thing called the calculator. What's that thing? So complicated to use, the numbers are so small, what happens when the battery dies? How do I make this thing work? I put numbers in there, and then what do? How do I make this calculator work? And then we had to take the next step and go to this thing called the machine, called the computer. And what happens when the disk fails? All right, I heard that so much when the computer age was just starting up. Everybody was worried, what happens when the disk fails? You always had to have a backup disk all the time. Everywhere, all the time. I mean, now they have gigabyte backup drives. You can copy your whole computer in a matter of minutes onto a backup drive and store it somewhere. But it's a huge change, huge change. People have trouble with change sometimes. So here, I'm going to talk about, going forward, the change in government that's coming. This is an illustration of man's 6,000 years of government. And what do you think it's produced? A train wreck. You can see it all around us. How many millions of people have died from all the types of government we have? And then over here we talk about God's never-ending government. The government of God, the kingdom of God coming, and how the kingdom of God is going to make dreams come true. We've been talking about that today. We're going to talk about it some more. I believe that's the last slide in the mix. Turn the lights, please.
Today, we will discuss the five ways Jesus Christ will change government forever. It's taken from the UCG article about change written by Howard Davis. Some of you know Howard Davis, now retired. In 2009, he wrote it. We've included much of this in our Kingdom of God presentation that we've been resurrecting and preparing for use this coming year. And remember, a few weeks ago, we covered the awe-inspiring changes, the physical changes that will happen to this earth when Jesus Christ returns. So I'm going to take a different kind of format for this sermon. And what I'm going to do is pass you out, and Kent's going to pass you out a copy. And there's two pages in there. One is all the scriptures from today's sermon, so you don't have to write them all down. They're all there. And the other is, the second page is a page, is all the scriptures from the sermon I gave on the changes, that are physical changes coming to the planet Earth. So you don't have to flip through all those. I'm going to read you those scriptures so that you don't have to. And then you have it for history. You can write notes if you want. But I want us to see what the scriptures say. It is such an inspiring and such an uplifting picture that Jesus Christ is bringing to this earth. I want you just to think about it. Somewhat like that offertory music we heard. You heard how intensely talented that young lady was. How she was able to play that trumpet so specifically. She practiced so hard and so well. Jesus, when he comes, his government is designed, as was said in the messages this morning, he's preparing a mansion, a place for all of us. And he's constantly working at that. She worked so hard at those pieces well ahead of time. So is Jesus Christ when he brings his kingdom. It's going to sound like a symphony when we're participating in all of it with him. I just think it's so inspiring. So the first point I want to make today is that God will promote one universal faith. If you look on today, the planet today, there are many kinds of faith. You've got Hinduism, you've got Buddhism, you've got Islam, you've got Christianity of many different types. And it just goes on and on, all the different religions that are on our planet today. But when Jesus comes, it will be one universal faith. That's going to have a huge impact. So I'm going to read you Zechariah 14:9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth, and in that day it shall be done. The Lord is one, and his name is one. The governments will be one. Everything will be one. Religion will be one. We will all be one family on this planet. We will no longer be separated into many different factions. One government, one law, and one religion. I think that word one is going to really make a huge difference. Imagine the disagreements that can be eliminated. The peace and harmony that can be achieved with just making things one. All nations will learn God's change because they will see that it is the only way towards goodness and prosperity. And you'll see that as I go through all these scriptures. You'll see that the nations are going to start seeing all the changes that are going to happen on this planet with the return of Jesus Christ, and all want to get in line to go learn about it. Micah 4:2 says, many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Jerusalem's going to be the capital of the planet. Everybody's going to go to Jerusalem to learn about God and Jesus Christ and how to live and how to get along together. John 14:6 said, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We'll all be going and worshiping Jesus Christ to learn through him all around the world. And it was brought up about the Gentile nations. And even those Gentile nations, if there are some who will decide to worship Jesus Christ, in Psalm 72:11, it says, yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. All nations will take Jesus Christ to heart and change their ways. And I hope to convince you that you'll see how and why they'll do that going forward. Psalms 86:9 says, all nations who you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. You're going to see such wonderful things happening. You'll glorify the name of Jesus Christ. Zechariah 14:16 says, the nations will worship the king. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, which we're looking forward to keeping. They'll all be there with us. There'll be nobody against us anymore. They'll all be there with us, just wanting to learn as much as they can about the kingdom, and how to live God's way. All the earth will worship Jesus Christ and join together in bond to Christ and each other at the Feast of Tabernacles and at the Holy Days and also at the Sabbaths. We won't be going to Sabbath alone as just his called out people anymore. Isaiah 66:23 says, "It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, all flesh, will come to worship before me, says the Lord." So the first point is, government will promote one universal faith. It'll be one government, one faith, one religion. The second point is, government will be directed towards perfecting man. Right now, governments chase after lofty goals. They never fully achieve them. They have not learned how to grow people's God's way. They're missing the dimension of healing the Holy Spirit gives. And under Jesus Christ, governments will pursue healing for the people and growing them into godly lights. Isaiah 9:16-17 says that the leaders of today's governments cause them to err, and those who are led by them are destroyed. Therefore, the Lord will have no joy in their young men, nor have mercy on their fatherless widows, for everyone is a hypocrite and evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly. For all his anger is not turned away, but his hand is still stretched out. I think we heard that in the messages this morning. He still is hoping that people will turn, as the example was given this morning. Matthew 5:48 says, "Therefore you shall be perfected, just as your Father is in heaven is perfected." Joel 2:28 says, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit," and this is how we're going to be able to become perfected. "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." Galatians 5:22-24 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." These are the things that we'll all be focusing on. This is the thing that the government will be helping us to focus on. "Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's," which will be the whole planet eventually, "have crucified the flesh with his passions and his desires." And then Luke 10:27 says, "So he answered and said," this is Jesus, "you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And these will become the bywords. This will become the two pillars that we will practice, and the people around the whole planet will practice in the kingdom of God that's coming. Hebrews 8:10 says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." With the government of Jesus Christ, God the Father and Jesus Christ will teach us and strengthen us with his Spirit in us to love his ways, follow his paths, and the healings and blessings will follow in abundance. So the second point is that government will be directed towards perfecting man. The third point is government will be based. The third change that's coming to this planet, as you may have already figured out, government will be based on God's word. Isaiah 9:6-7 is a very popular scripture in many of the Christmas songs and some of the pagan religions. They like to use this as an example. But we know what it really means. Jesus is coming to this earth. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." This is what changes that are going to come to this planet with the government of God. It's going to change the way the whole system works. We talked about it a little bit this morning. We touched on it. This is a massive change. Colossians 1:9-10 says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray to you for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, which will be what everybody's going to be trying to do, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is the path that the one government will establish for its people. That's the path he wants us to go on. And when we do follow that, Isaiah 11:9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This whole planet is going to change. Very exciting. These are only three of the changes you'll see. There's two more to go. The fourth, and there probably is a lot more that I'm not covering, but these are like major topics. This is what Mr. Davis covered in his paper that he wrote. And the fourth, which you can find, by the way, if you go to UCG website and look under change. Government will focus on family is the fourth change. Family is the backbone of any successful government today. When you focus on family and the kingdom of God and with Jesus Christ, it's much more powerful. Matthew 11:27 says, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one whom the Son will reveal to him. Son wills to reveal to him. You see, Jesus, through Jesus Christ, we become part of God's family, and Jesus reveals him to us, and we can live his way and be a light to other people and a help to everybody. We can live in harmony. Deuteronomy 6:2 says that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, and you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged, because we're going to teach our children, our grandchildren, and they will teach their children and grandchildren. Everybody will be teaching and learning the ways of God and putting them into their lives and into their families. That's important. That's a big change that you'll see on this planet when people start doing that. Many of the issues we have in today's government here, even in the United States, we have huge populations of people who are really struggling to make a life. And they're fatherless. Their families aren't really well structured, or they don't have a family at all. They may have a mother, they may have a father, they may have neither. But because of all the social issues that creates, it really hurts them. That will all be solved with the coming of Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You will be talking and teaching to your children and role modeling it everywhere. And everybody around you will be doing it too. So you won't find these pockets of just religion here, religion there, or have to go find a Christian school or something like that, somewhere close to what you believe. It will be everywhere. The knowledge will fill the earth. That's the fourth change. The fourth change is the government will focus on family. The government will put in place structures for the family. Just so you know, one of the first thing communist governments put in place, communism being one of the worst government modes on this planet, puts in place is a no-fault divorce process, because then they can get hold of the mother and the children, and they can become wards of the state, and then they can train them and bring them up the way they want them, because they know a strong family is eventually going to reject communism. The fifth change that you will see that will change the way this earth works when Jesus Christ returns, his government will show breathtaking progress and achievement that it just will blow your mind. It's awesome the amount of things that will change. First, you know, I've included in the pass out that I gave, I included on the second page all the changes that are going to happen to the earth. And I think I have 11 of them here. That's not all of them. There are more. But these are the main ones that we can talk about. These are the changes that he's going to bring in place. This planet is going to be turned into a virtual utopia with Jesus Christ. A Garden of Eden from one end of it to the other. And we are going to be part of that. We can get excited about that. breathtaking progress and achievement. Isaiah 35:1 says, "The wilderness and wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose." Amos 9:13 says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, the treader of grapes, him who sows seeds. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine." And all the hills shall flow with it. Isaiah 11:6 through 9, "The wolf shall also dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. The weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and as the waters cover the sea." Isaiah 2, 2 through 3. I think we covered this earlier today. "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord. Many people shall come and say, come and let us flow, go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, for he will teach us his ways. We will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem," because they're going to see the breathtaking changes. They're going to see the environment change. No one's going to want to fight anymore, because you plant a grapevine. And I think in the sermon I gave, it only takes a week for the grapes to be produced. Things are growing seven times the speed they used to, because the sun is now giving seven times more light. All agriculture will become very easy to do. You won't have to sweat to do it. You'd rather plant your food and raise cattle than fight or go work in some factory making weapons. You're going to be more interested in developing a relationship with God, an agricultural relationship with your family establishing itself. And I believe there's a scripture on that too. There is. I don't think I have it listed here, but it's listed in this page, in the second page I passed out to you. Life to this planet will come from Jerusalem, and all mankind will pursue it because they'll see how good it is and the change that comes. We heard this morning that the water coming from underneath the throne in Jerusalem will be so clear and so pure, it'll look like crystal. And it'll be healing, too. It'll heal everything it touches. Isaiah 51:3, "For the Lord will comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it, and thanksgiving and the voice of melody." Wouldn't it be nice to walk through towns, and instead of hearing blaring acid rock, to hear people thanking God and songs and melody that you can join in and sing with them every town you walk through? Be nice to hear that. Isaiah 61:4, "And they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities. The desolation of many generations will be fixed," including Chernobyl and other places. Ezekiel 36:35, "So they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited." You can go visit cities, and it won't be like you need to take a gun and a bulletproof vest because you're afraid you're going to get shot. The cities you go here, you want to bring probably a gift in your hand and a song in your heart, because the people you meet in the square are going to extend a hand to you and maybe try to give you a place to stay overnight, give you some food, take care of your every need, and maybe sing songs with you and talk about how great God is. What a different kind of life it's going to be in the world tomorrow with the coming of Jesus Christ. God's kingdom is not of this world. God is bringing his love to this planet and a way of life that will mean every expanding peace and love and prosperity to everybody on the planet. And it will be beyond anything man has comprehended in today's broken world. that's all because of Galatians 1:4. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God and our Father. In Matthew 20:25, Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers and Gentiles lord it over them," and that's the way it is today. And we heard about the Gentiles just a moment ago in the sermonette. "And those who will have who exercise great authority over them." That's how it is today in the world. We're exercising great authority over all of us. That's all going to change. We're going to the servant leadership model that we discussed maybe a couple months ago, where we're part of the family of Jesus Christ and God the Father, and we serve everybody. Everybody serves everybody in humble respect. Luke 4:18 through 19 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." How much poor do we have in the world today? "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." How many people are brokenhearted? How many people have had their hearts broken through their lives? In many different ways. "And recovery the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." This is what's going to happen with Jesus Christ's return. He's going to heal all these wounds. Stand everybody up and give us a new heart and new life. So that's a very quick and somewhat dynamic summary. I was trying to bring out the reality of what's going to happen in very clear terms, because it's not spoken of very much. In our church it is, but I mean outside, in the world we live in, this doesn't come up. So the last scripture I'd like to read to you, and you can look these up on your own as you have them, is Mark 1:15. Jesus Christ saying this: "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Enjoy the rest of your Feast of Trumpets.